They had a trained physician, surgeon, who is working in Canada in a naturopathic practice, because that's the kind of practice that he believes in. Up in Canada, the naturopathic physicians are licensed to practice there. This man has spent a great deal of time learning the skill that he has. You can see the difference between the kinds of people we introduce from this platform and a lot of people at other functions, where they present self-appointed practitioners, self-anointed, I might say, nutritionists. It is not that simple, and we want you to recognize that and exercise some caution if you select someone to be your guide through some sort of program. And it's the individual who is most anxious and most promising to the cancer patient who is the one you probably want to be suspicious of most. A good practitioner can only say, "We will try." They never know how the Constitution is going to respond. The one that offers you a therapy with confidence doesn't have enough experience. The experienced person knows enough not to do that. And our next speaker is one of those experienced people. He spent 6 months studying with Dr. Max Gerson. And wherever there was an opportunity to study, whether it was Europe or any place around the country, he took the time and, of course, the expense to make sure that he was providing service to his patients to the best degree possible. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our next speaker, Dr. Leo Roy.
Getting a chance to speak for Ruth Sackman is always a privilege. Getting a chance to come back and share some ideas with you is always a pleasure, believe me. I'm going to reveal to you this morning, dear ladies and gentlemen, one of the best kept secrets of the medical profession. You've heard about the immune system? Does anyone here know what it is? I defy you. It's not possible to know what it is because it doesn't exist. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about. The immune system is not, there is no such thing as a special system inside the body that creates immunity. So if it isn't that, then what is it? And I'm going to share with pleasure something that it took me 25 years before all of a sudden it dawned on me what this scam is about calling something an immune system and keeping you totally always in the cloud of what is going on in the body. I'm not going to tell you any great secrets, anything new. What I'm going to tell you about this morning, practically everybody knows. But what I hope to do is to correlate it and synthesize it and put all this together, the simple ideas about healing and the way the body functions in such a way that you may get a different understanding and a new spirit and a new realization of the importance of having a real, clear, precise idea of what is immunity in the human body. What is in the human body is a powerful organization of functions and organs, and I like to separate them rather than calling it the immune system. I like to separate it into two things. I think it'll help to understand a little better. I call one the immunity, and I call the other host resistance. Most of the time you hear these spoken in the same language as if they're the same thing. If you consider it in terms of one is protection or immunity against disease, that gives you a clear idea of what to look for and how it functions. If you look on the other, as it says, resistance, as something that's active and attacking the basic causes and problems, then you have another idea. And basically, the organization in the body which creates what some people want to call immunity is a combination of all the organs and functions in the body that produce these two effects. So I'm going to give you an overview of what this is to the best of my ability. Let me start off by, hope not confusing you too much, but zeroing in on some of the functions of the body which you know about, and then showing how they fit together. We sometimes are told that the immunity or immune system is building up of immune bodies. This means that the thymus gland has manufactured out of certain amino acids and certain proteins, has created certain substances which will then attach themselves onto poisons, neutralize them, detoxify them, and make them harmless to the body. Yes, this is a part of immunity, and this is a part of the thymus gland function. But believe me, it is only an extremely small part. Because while the thymus gland is a major part of the immune system, it also produces a hormone called thymosine, discovered only a few years ago, which actually is an anti-cancer substance. So the thymus gland does more than produce immune bodies. It actually attacks. It is both immune and host resistant. Now, I wanted to backtrack for a little minute. One comment that I thought I should introduce you here was, some of us that go back far enough may realize that in the medical books, the medical profession said, and I remember this when I graduated, there's only one cure for cancer that is scientific and acceptable by the medical profession, and that is host resistance. Those are the words that were used 35 years ago. Now, I remembered those, and the question why I'm talking about here this morning would always intrigue me is, what is the host resistance, and why is it that this profession, this whole medical profession, talks about it, and I have yet to see anything done about it? How do you detect, how do you recognize the host resistance, how do you use it, how do you make it for the greatest advantage of those patients you're treating? And this is the mystery that I want to go into in more in detail, because basically speaking, you won't find it in any medical book anywhere. I don't think you'll find it in any health book. But when you put it all together, all of a sudden it makes a lot of common sense and is within your grasp and my grasp and is a key. And I still believe it is the key and a right key. The medical profession was right that the only real cure for cancer is in host resistance or host resistance and immunity. Any of the substances and the treatments that are available today, anything that works and works well, you will always find it is something that is enhancing the host resistance and intensifying the body's ability to protect against the carcinogens. So let's go down from the thymus and see what else has an effect on attacking poisons, because the causes of cancer are always poisons or deficiencies or devitalization, so let's look at them. I'm not going to go in any special order, maybe from the top of the body down. Let's take a look at the parotid gland. I don't know any medical doctors that treat the parotid gland. I don't know any that even examine the parotid gland. I examine everybody's parotid glands. Those are little glands, the saliva glands underneath the jaw. People don't realize that that little gland can be also a cure and a key to curing cancer. Why? Let me give you a picture. It should be on an illustration. I don't have one with me. But let's visualize for a minute the whole mechanism. The body says, look, I've got a problem here. Chromosomes are breaking down. Now, when the chromosomes of cells break down, those cells become denatured and can grow wild and turn into cancer. Chromosomes are long, snake-like things made up of thousands of molecules of trace minerals and amino acids combined together. Some of those trace minerals or amino acids are lacking. And so the whole process of the cell gets denatured. The cell says, I'm going to need to get to replace some of these molecules. Now, they're always there in duplicate. So it splits off one of the duplicates. It manufactures a duplicate, first of all, that's missing. It sends it through the bloodstream. It goes through the bloodstream. It comes into the spleen, where it is filtered out. And then it is sent to the thymus gland, where the thymus gland manufactures what it should, changes it around, adds immune bodies, and then it comes up to your parotid gland. And those molecules come out with saliva into your meal. And it's combined with the food and the food diet, it combines with whatever molecules in the food the body needs. I'm exaggerating a little bit to clarify it. And the enzymes digest to break away the molecules that aren't necessary for that particular purpose. And those molecules go as such that the original molecule takes its whatever its counterpart is, travels down through the intestinal tract, goes through the bloodstream, back to your cell, and provides the cell what's necessary. Now, that parotid gland is an essential link in curing cancer, in regenerating the chromosomes of the cells. Sometimes, if you do not treat the parotid gland, you can have a failure. Simple little treatment. We know that the blood cells have immunity factor. This is very simple. The white blood cells we know are scavengers. Every time you've got poison in your bloodstream, those blood cells absorb, digest, like little crocodiles, all of the poisons in your system. They will increase in size to the swelling point and absorb as much poison as they possibly can. As a matter of fact, you can recognize cancer when those white blood cells have increased in size roughly about one-third larger than normal. This is a tremendously important immune factor. Building up your blood, looking after your blood, is a part of the immune system. The spleen is a part of the immune system. Why? Because the spleen filters out the poisons from the blood in a different way than the white blood cells, which scavenger and eat them. The spleen filters out the dying blood cells so that those dying and dead portions and dying molecules don't go back into your blood and go back into your system and re-toxify it or whatever. The spleen is a very important factor in immunity. I believe that the spleen is like an accessory liver. Whenever the liver gets overloaded, the spleen takes on some of that load, and when you see enlarged livers, you usually find that the spleen gradually starts to enlarge itself also. The spleen, I'm going very quickly, the spleen is also a part of the immune system. The liver, that is the biggest and the most part of the immune system. If you were to try and duplicate the functions of a liver, they claim that you would have to build a factory and equip it with solids equipment to saturate that whole factory with equipment and men and technicians the size of a large city. There are hundreds of thousands of functions that are going through your liver. Now, the liver both protects by neutralizing the poisons and it attacks the poisons. So the liver is a part of both immune and host resistance. That is probably the major factor. If you were to look after your liver and have a perfectly healthy liver, you would never have disease, or the disease that you might get for whatever reason, excess or abuse, would clear up in a matter of days or weeks. And any time that you have any condition in your body that lasts longer than a few weeks, you can be pretty sure that there is something lacking in the liver. There may be hundreds of thousands of enzyme systems working in that liver to produce the effects that I'm talking about. We'll get into enzymes in a minute. But let's talk about something that most of you would never associate with immune system, is the bone marrow. Why? For anybody that knows little physiology, the answer should be obvious. The bone marrow is the area that manufactures the white blood cells. Therefore, the integrity and the health of the bone marrow must be considered seriously as a part of any treatment of cancer or any other serious disease or toxicity of the blood. Now, let's go back to some of the elimination processes, because obviously if your disease is caused by excesses of toxins, then your first step should be, how do we get rid of and how much can we build up the body to eliminate? So most of you know that the liver will normally break down and eliminate about 40% of poisons, the kidney about 30%, which will usually be the water-soluble poisons. The liver handles practically all poisons, the kidney's about 40%, which would be water-soluble, the lungs will handle about 30%, which is your carbon dioxide type, and many of the products of the body, when they are burned down to the final stages, sugars and this sort of thing, they are turned into carbon dioxide. And that carbon dioxide in excess is toxic, therefore it has to be eliminated, it goes through the lungs. The lungs are important. Then you have the skin. The skin will eliminate by perspiring, as we all know, but particularly these are your toxic minerals. Like, for instance, a sauna bath would probably get rid of twice as many twice as readily and twice as effectively of lead poisoning as if you were to use chelation therapy or to use a lot of chemicals inside the body. People don't realize that the skin is an important organ of elimination. Your intestines, I guess that should be obvious. You just had a lecture on it this morning. If you didn't understand what happens in your body the rest of your life, you should have learned about it this morning, that people lose poisons through the intestines, and a brilliant statement. But people sometimes don't realize that the vagina and the prostate are also elimination organs. They eliminate when the body is not capable of handling the poisons through the liver, kidneys, spleen, liver, kidneys, lungs, and skin. An awful lot of it will pile up into the prostate and vagina and becomes an elimination organ. Therefore, it has to be considered as a part of your immune system. But there are attack systems also. We mentioned that the liver is an attack system because it attacks all these poisons and breaks them down. Your adrenal glands is an attack system. Your adrenal glands secretes the adrenaline. The adrenaline goes through your whole system, intensifies the blood circulation, intensifies the blood pressure. It activates the organs of all of the different parts of the body and makes all of the rest of the body fight harder. It also secretes cortisone, and cortisone, as you know, when it's produced by the body, is like an emergency system in an army where you've got a front line, and all of a sudden there's a breach in the front line. And the general says, hey, send in some reserves into that breach and fill in the breach and close off this area that needs to be protected. And this is what cortisone does. It mobilizes all healing powers of the body to attack any abnormality whatsoever. The problem, of course, is if you don't replace those mobilized units, you also weaken the body in the process. But the adrenal gland is a part of your host resistance. Your lymphoid tissues are a part of the host resistance and attacking the particular poisons, bacteria, virus, whatever. Lymphoid tissues, the tonsils, people don't realize that the tonsils secrete and produce anti-cancer agents. Taking your tonsils out is a disaster. The appendix contains lymphoid tissue. Lymphoid tissue is a type of little gland, little round balls that are manufacturing and produce and put into the system other types of white blood cells, lymphocytes, or lymphoid-type tissue cells. These attack cancer or toxins of any kind. When you take the appendix out, you also have another disaster, and you also leave your body more prone to cancer. Then the intestines itself also have embedded in the walls these little small areas of lymphoid tissue, which protects the body against the poisons that would stagnate inside the intestines. Therefore, the intestines is a part of your immune system. Then there are chemicals in the body that have a big role to play. We know about the endocrine glands. As I told you, I'm not telling you very much new, but I will try. I think when you see the whole picture together, you'll get the point of what I'm getting at, is it's not just a question of attacking and defending, you also have to balance, because imbalances weaken the whole system. Any kind of imbalance, even emotional imbalances, structural imbalances. Your endocrine glands have the role of balancing the chemistry of the body. Seven glands were producing, who knows, something in the neighborhood very close to 50 types of hormones, have the job of balancing several 100,000, possibly millions of different types of molecules that go through the body, and they're all maintained in balance by one small system. And that balance is what gives you energy and vitality and healing ability, and the endocrine glands play a role in protecting your body against disease. Then you have the hypothalamus, which a lot of people know about, that in certain case stages of disease are a protective mechanism, because right in the middle of that brain, as we know, there are glands that produce endorphins, which is a word for saying inside morphine type molecular combinations. And when you have pain, the brain secretes a lot of the chemicals that help you control and maintain your integrity against pain. So you can say that the brain has a little bit of an effect against in the control of disease or against cancer. But then we have, getting down a little bit more to specifics, probably one thing that maybe should be put right on the top of the list is enzymes. Because in the body, you have hundreds of thousands of chemicals. Each one of these is either split or combined together. You have chains of molecules. And as a body splits those chains, it creates energy, like an atom bomb that's exploding. The same process that's going on in an atom bomb is going on in every cell of your body. There are like 100 chain reactions taking place all the time in every cell of your body. And these chain reactions produce a life force by splitting of the molecules. Every splitting of a molecule is done by an enzyme, and only by an enzyme. But you don't just split molecules and create energy. You have to rebuild the body and repair the body. And if you can't rebuild and repair, you can't maintain health. The same molecules that are split, if you put them into an alkaline, they get split in an acid environment. When you put them into an alkaline environment, those same enzymes work in reverse, and they combine molecules to create new cells and regenerate the tissues. Therefore, in every single function of the body, there is not a single thing happens in the body without those enzymes. I can't talk, you can't listen, I can't feel, you can't hear, you can't sit there, there's not a muscle that functions, there's nothing that generates in your body, not a single thing without the action of enzymes constantly all day long. Now, this is the biggest part of the neglected field, partly because of the tremendous, tremendous impact of the brainwashing concerning vitamins. Because most people believe that, I'm going to keep repeating this every year, and I'm going to keep repeating it every year. Some of you may get tired of hearing me, but you probably hear for the rest of the year the tremendous brain conditioning of all the books and all the literature by the drug companies in the health field on vitamins, and you say, vitamins cure, therefore vitamins should be a part of the immune system. I don't even believe it is, except as an accessory role. Because enzymes cannot work without vitamins, but it is the enzyme that does the job of healing. The vitamin does absolutely nothing in the body except maintain the function, accelerate and intensify the functions of enzymes. And any time you take a vitamin pill, the only reason why it can do anything in the body is it is activating whatever reserves you still have in your body, hoping that you still have some. Because when you get cancer, your enzyme reserves are extremely low. And every time you take a vitamin pill, you are going to deplete them even farther. So the vitamin can be just as much a damage to cancer as it can be a protective mechanism if combined with their proper enzymes, minerals, trace minerals, and proteins and oils. In the functional line, the enzymes are the most important thing to be considered. Now, of course, the enzymes are a combination of trace minerals and amino acids. Therefore, you have to look to all of the minerals and all of the amino acids in order to be able to build up your enzyme system. And your trace mineral deficiencies are probably 1,000 times more serious and more important than any vitamin deficiency. But those trace minerals cannot be utilized by the body, are not valuable by the body, unless in combination with enzymes. If you put a spark plug into an automobile and you have no battery, what good is a spark plug if it doesn't spark? And there is no single element or nutrient whatsoever goes into the body without having to be sparked by enzymes. And therefore, taking all of the chemicals, and you keep hearing about selenium this and chemical that and germanium this and all of the other substances and how wonderful they are, sure they're wonderful. When they are the way the good Lord in nature made them, combined with the enzymes and the other elements with which they must function as a team. And anything else is somebody's trying to sell you a bill of goods. So along the lines of the minerals that we know about, magnesium is terribly important. In many cancers, breast cancer particularly, selenium is important and germanium is important. In the cancers of the liver, and the pancreas, and the prostate, and the pituitary, your zinc is important, and the cancers of the thyroid, or functioning, if I could say cancers or functioning, or immunity of these organs, you'd have to use these ideas interchangeably. The iodine is important for your thyroid, your chromium is important for your pancreas, your calcium is important for your bones, nerves, blood, skin, almost every cell of the body. Most of the minerals cannot be functioning properly unless they are acted upon by phosphorus. I'm going to stop there. Because what the rest of the story would be, you'd have to end up by saying every mineral on the safe surface of the earth somehow is needed in the human body and must be there in the proportions as the human body requires. If not, there is a deficiency, something is going to be lacking and weakened, and your immunity is going to be weakened. And those that apply to the enzymes, your host resistance will be weakened because those enzymes won't attack as well. It is hard to believe that every single mineral on the face of the earth is a part of a cancer story. Now, we know about certain things like vitamin C. Vitamin C, when I say vitamin C, I mean vitamin C complex, which means a combination of at least 20 different substances put together, not one substance called ascorbic acid. Why would one be important, all the others not? Every single element in every complex of your vitamin E, C, or every A, B, C, up to X is just as important as the other complexes. And you leave one out, it's like leaving one wheel off an automobile. It's not going to go very far. But I wanted to talk about the vitamin C and vitamin E partly because of a question that came up, and the one that's being talked about so much is antioxidants that came up yesterday. And one said, well, how is it that if you give ozone and high oxygen, you can cure cancer when the oxygens are supposed to damage the body, you need antioxidants to protect against the destructive effects of oxygen. It isn't a one-question thing, it's a two-question thing. The vitamin C complex and the vitamin E complex are antioxidants in this sense that you have something like 1,500 pounds of oxygen going through your bloodstream every day. In the bloodstream, you may have a few ounces of food, oils, nutrients of different kinds, water-soluble and oil-soluble. That amount of oxygen contacting a few ounces is going to destroy them, inevitably. It oxidizes like mad. So nature has, in its wisdom, has created antioxidants. Your vitamin C protects your water-soluble substances in the bloodstream from being destroyed by this huge amount of oxygen coming from the lungs into every cell of the body. And your vitamin E protects your oil-soluble factors in the body from being broken down. And therefore, your antioxidants are extremely important as your host resistance or immunity factors in cancer. Now, how does the oxygen work? Now, if you have this oxygen going through the body and it encounters abnormal cells, which do not have the same protection, now those oxygen will kill. And that's what you want. So you need both. It's not a question that one is good and the other is bad. You need the both. And ozone therapy can be, ozone or oxygen is probably the most important immune factor in the whole body, as I said, for the simple reason that you require something like 1,500 pounds a day. You might require a quarter to half a pound of solid foods other than the liquids. You might require a couple of pounds of liquids and a few ounces of solid foods. If you were to take your apples and your potatoes and meats and take all the liquids out, you'd end up with a few ounces of solid food a day. And the amount of vitamins that you would need to replenish your needs of the day would be maybe an extremely small fraction of an ounce. And not when you take 50 to 100 tablets, you're going to get about 5 ounces or whatever. And that's supposed to make you healthy by pouring into your body 500 times more than what it needs, and yet a definition of health is balance. It does not make sense. So the oxygen is the most important factor of all, and that is the one that should be considered the most. But you don't hear about it much because it's free. And I'll give you probably the most hazardous thing in oxygen is not cigarettes. It's the natural gas in your home. People don't know, and this was researched by the National Research Council in Canada and never published and never will be published. For anybody who knows anything about economics and politics will know the answer is obvious. This country would be bankrupt in a matter of weeks if we got rid of natural gas out of the country. But natural gas evaporates right through the metal pipes and goes right into the air as if those pipes aren't even there. And anyone living with a 6-inch pipe coming through a wall, doesn't matter whether you've got stoves or heaters attached to it or not attached to it, whether they're on or they're off, it goes right through the metal. And your home is 5 times more polluted than most of the worst corners here of New York. And you're supposed to be breathing in poisonous air 24 hours a day, whatever, and you expect that you're going to cure your body of a cancer that the worst signs is a breakdown of the oxygen utilization in the body. It doesn't make sense. You cannot expect it that you're going to cure nutritionally
with foods and vitamins and totally neglect the things that are 1,000 times more important. Okay, there are ways that the body uses the different elements that we're talking about. There's exercise, you've heard about it, that transports all of the elements we're talking to every site and every cell where it is required. We know the effect of the mind. The mind is like the battery that invigorates everything. 40 seconds for the cassette. That means you can get up and stretch your hands and sit right down and we'll get going. But probably one of the biggest factors in this whole process is not, we keep talking about chemical things all the time. And the mind and vitality things are probably 1,000 times more important than the oxygen. The most powerful thing in the world is the mind. A person whose mind is negative, who does not believe, does not have confidence, does not want to live, is demoralized, discouraged, there is no chemical power, there's no medical treatment, there's no miracle treatment in the world will help that person. The mind has to be on the direction of, I am going to live, and darn it all, I'm going to really live, and I'm going to get everything out of life, and I'm going to become complete, and I'm going to enjoy life, and I'm going to get the maximum joy out of life. That is the greatest immunity factor of all. So help me God. There's another factor, and this is something that you don't get very much down in the States, and I may have said it to some of you before, but I would like to repeat it, is magnetism. Magnetism, magnets, like North, South Pole magnets. The world is a magnet. Your whole body is magnetized. Every one of the minerals that we're talking about is a magnet, is magnetized. The magnets, these minerals saturate the membranes of the cells of every part of your body. And every membrane of a cell is magnetized. And the magnets of the membranes of the cells attract the specific minerals that pass by in the bloodstream and take out of those the bloodstream what it needs so that those cells can restore and rebuild themselves. And once the minerals are demagnetized or the cells are demagnetized, there is no more nutrition. Let me give you a little example. You've got a handful of needles. And you're to take those needles and you want to throw them through a screen door. How many are going to go through? Almost none. But supposing we were to take those needles and line them up and magnetize them with a powerful magnet and take your handful of them in any way or form at all and take your magnet and put it behind the screen door, right close, now you throw those needles towards the magnet. Obviously a good number are going to go through. Now that is a part of the function of magnetism. Magnets intensify oxygenation in the bloodstream, the most important function of all. Magnetism intensifies circulation itself. Magnetism intensifies the nutrition of the cells and the rejection of the abnormal demagnetized minerals out of the cells, which is detoxification. In the testings that we now have available from Germany, we can relatively well measure the magnetism or healing ability of the body. And since these instruments were put into my office about 6 years ago, I have been shocked to realize how many people get cancer because their bodies are demagnetized. And they go to a nutritionist or a doctor and say, give me some vitamins to make me feel better. Until many of these patients are remagnetized, it doesn't matter what kind of treatment you put back into their bodies, the body can't use them. And so you have to build back usability. You have to make the body function. You got to get the motor going before it's going to go anywhere. And magnetism can again be one of the most important factors in healing and in immunity and in host resistance. So what am I saying? I hope by now you got the drift. Has it come to your minds as it should, and it should be real obvious? I hope your minds are not as slow as mine, because it took mine, as I say, 25 years before I realized that it takes every single organ of your body plays a role in immunity and in host resistance. Every single major function of your body plays a role in immunity and host resistance. Every single major chemical and life force in your body
plays a role in immunity and in host resistance. That is the immune system. The immune system is your whole body. It's your mind, it's your physiology, it's every organ, it's every biochemical, and every one of these has to be maintained in a high state of integrity. Anything that destroys any part of your body, devitalizes any part of your body, lowers the life force, demagnetizes the body, creates a deficiency, lowers immunity and host resistance. Every chemical, every radiation destroys enzymes. Enzymes are destroyed by heat, by contact with oxygen, and contact with any kind of drug and radiation. And these are your biggest factors. Some of the most important ones would be fluorides. Every time you take a dead food or you take a drug or a chemically produced substance, you're putting a dead substance into the body. And people still feel that by taking dead substances, it could be anything at all, chemotherapy or a dead hormone or a dead drug or this or anything else, a dead pain pill, you are deadening the body. And anything that creates death wilt and contribute to the dying of the body and therefore the destruction of the immune system. Therefore, there's another point that you should realize, and this is where the complexity and the incurability of cancer is coming in. We haven't started yet, at least most of us haven't, to study all of these single aspects of the body. Now, if you had a computer or an engine, motor, whatever, when you take it into a mechanic or a repairman, you expect he's going to find the part that's broken, not just always automatically analyze the front end or the back end or the middle section. If he's got a problem and it doesn't work, he has to analyze every single part. Why do we not do this with medicine? Why, if we know that the immunity system is the whole body, as long as we keep this a mystery, you don't have to do that. And this is why I believe this is the greatest, one of the greatest kept mysteries of the medical profession. Think in terms of an immune system, and it doesn't exist. But if you look at it as the whole body, then that means that you've got to analyze and look at and evaluate every single thing that goes on the whole body, or you may miss the key or the clue to your cancer. There is no cure to cancer. There's only cure to your body, your cancer, when the doctor has hit on the right point that your body needs that caused the cancer. How are you going to do this? It gets pretty complex. So I thought, just for the heck of it, I would put down on paper this morning what is involved in the way I could see it in developing a diagnosis for cancer. So I put down what we use in my clinic, which it took me years together to put together. And I bought here, this is my diagnosis of a disease or anybody's body. Some of you have seen this. In other words, you evaluate every single thing like I'm describing. And so I thought, what have I got down here? What I have here is 102 sections, 320 subsections, approximately 5,000 questions, with anywhere between 15 to 25,000 interpretations, with a physical examination chart. We examine all the different structures and shapes and forms of the body with about something like 300 pieces of data from physical examination. Then we put people through about something like 25 different types of tests, each one which can give maybe 5 to 50 pieces of information. Then when we've done that, we have to help the people to get over this. Now we get into the therapy part to build up the immunity, and we have something like, for the analysis, and I missed one thing here, for the analysis and putting all this together, we have something like 90 pieces of literature, forms, synthesis charts, interpretation charts, explanation charts, prescription charts, and everything else. It takes us about 90 different forms in my office to accomplish all this. Then to educate the people, we have something like 225 different articles. And in this, we need a personnel in my office that was like something like 7 different people in order to handle 2 or 3 patients a day. And we work with something like 4 or 5 other different associated clinics, doctors, dentists, psychologists, ecologists, whatever. And by the time we do all that, we think it's possible to come close to understanding and handling immunity and host resistance. So the answer should be obvious. That's why we're not curing cancer. We're going to take one panacea, one chemotherapy substance, when the body may, I've seen people with cancers having up to about 45 to 55 causes in one patient, and we can get this in 2 hours when this is done. Actually, I forgot to mention that the sum total of work from the time we contact the patient until the time that patient leaves can be anywhere between 15 hours to 25 hours of work on a single patient, and then we have a good superficial view of what's going on. If we're not curing cancer because we don't know what's going on in the body, how can you cure something you don't know about? But if you take the trouble to know everything in the body, to normalize it all, to rebuild the immunity and the host resistance in every single point, there's an interesting fact that comes in. You can't stop a body from curing. Try it sometime. Cut yourself. Now, you can block it by putting an infection or keeping on opening it up every day or scratching it, whatever, but just leave the body. I'm talking about if you normalize everything, you'd have to normalize the cut conditions also. Now try and stop that cut from healing. And I don't believe you can stop the body from healing of cancer either. And if it doesn't heal, it means that you didn't normalize the conditions. You left something out. There are deficiencies, there are toxicities, there are things that you didn't look at, things you don't know about and therefore have done nothing about them, and you haven't rebuilt the body. So what we're talking about then, this involves all degenerative diseases and all balancing. And that, I think, has got complicated enough. I hope I haven't confused you too much, but that is my visualization of what I believe to be immunity and host resistance, the sum total of every organ, of every function, of every chemical, not just fractions of therapy chemicals, not just fractions of nutrients, of everything that the body needs, not just chemicals, but your life forces, not just life forces, but the mind conditioning, your attitude conditioning, your state of value, and nourishment, which means nourishing the body and the mind and the emotions and the soul and the social life and your cultural life, everything that makes up a human being. And that, to me, is a cure of cancer. Thank you.
Do you notice how I shift the microphone from about that high to this high? Oh, thank you, as usual, for a very informative talk. Dr. Roy is ready to take some questions, but it will only be from the microphone. Now, if you'll stand close to the microphone, now you can turn it up or down. Don't try to pull it out of its slot. And bring your mouth close to the microphone. They tell me otherwise you can't hear here.
There are two questions. I just switched from oil to natural gas, and then say natural
gas
is terrible.
Yes?
What can I do with it?
Take the gas pipe out of your house and out of the wall. And if you don't, You'll live with it for the rest of your life. I'll guarantee you that nobody can live and be healthy and normal in a house that is equipped with a natural gas pipe for over 10 years. And during that 10 years, I'll guarantee you, you never will be living at the height of your emotional or mental or physical or any other capacity that is part of your nature. Can I interrupt for a second here? Some people realize that it's going to be impossible. The alternative, which is not is good enough, but is about the best that you can get, would be to get an ionizer. An ionizer will neutralize about 85% of the gas that could, or other pollutants, cigarette smoke, or whatever that would be in the air. That's right. They have ionizers out on the desk there. It depends upon your house. Some ionizers will take an area of about 10 square feet, and some will handle the oxygen or the air of a whole house, depending upon the size.
Now, the second one was magnetism. I never heard that.
No, it's illegal in the States. With magnets. That's right. That's right. I have something like six magnet instruments that I have rotating from home to home constantly all the time. They're illegal in the States. In the States, that's why you didn't hear about them, and that's why I talked to you about them. Now, we can go even farther than that. There is one medical doctor who's been doing research on magnetism, and this is phenomenal. It was exciting news to me. I only heard about it a few months ago. They have found that electropulsating magnets has another function than just straight ordinary magnetism. If your pulse, if your magnetism is pulsating at 8 frequencies per second, that's called hertz, that's the name they use, 8 frequencies per second, that can take the different elements, trace minerals and amino acids and whatever, that go into the construction of a chromosome and make them come together, and actually those chromosomes can rebind and normalize, and if you do that, you actually heal the whole cell, including cancer, with nothing but magnetism.
If you,
this is not possible in the United States. We have it all. It's all over Europe, and we have it in Canada. There's no problem. Now, if you take the magnetism and put it at 5 hertz, you relax the body, you slow it down, you actually make a person start sleeping and relaxing, and release all of the tensions that upset the whole metabolism of the body. If you put the magnetism at 13 hertz, you make the body go hyper. And you can make it go so hyper that it can get into a state of irritability, of even frustration, capable of getting involved in riots or all kinds of abnormal activities. And incidentally, the Russians are actually bombing different parts of the world with 13 frequency magnet vibrations right at the moment. You may be right in it right here at the moment. Okay, thank you. That's like, say, would you give me a whole medical course, but I'll do my best. First of all, we do the study of the person to find out what they need. There's no such thing as guesswork. Either you find out, sometimes it takes a number of tests before we can correlate one to the other and say we're quite sure that we've eliminated the guesswork and you need this or the other thing. The only source of enzymes is food. Now, I have a couple little books out on the table there for some of you like the books on detoxification, the book on the standard diet, a couple other little booklets. One of them I called Herbs for Host Resistance. The only factory in the world for manufacturing enzymes is living cells. You cannot manufacture an enzyme in a factory. And this is why you never hear about enzymes. The drug companies don't promote them. They don't promote them in the health stores or whatever, because they cannot be manufactured. You have to get them out of living food. Now, herbs have a specific healing value because they are living plants. And in the process of becoming herbs, it's because they supply specific minerals and specific enzyme components that the body needs for healing. If they're the ordinary components for producing energy or restructuring the cells of the body, we might call them vegetables. But if they produce specific effects on the body, we call them herbs. There's really no difference. But you cannot get herbs, enzymes, in any other source. And the nutrition, of course, becomes absolutely necessary. The way that we try and compensate for that is that there are a couple of companies, one of them you have represented outside here, the Vaico Company, which produces, they don't produce, actually, they harvest crops grown on specifically richly mineralized soils, and they take these crops and they freeze, vacuum extract them, and the foods that are used are basically sprouts coming up to the first leaf on the stem, at which time that plant still contains 200 times the nutritional value of the original seed, and that is harvested, dried, in vacuum, extracted, again in vacuum and freezing temperature, and is put into a powder or a tablet form, and that contains every vitamin, mineral, enzyme, nutrient under the sun. This is probably the I would say, Spring Green or Green Life, from the man who manufactured it and the man who also produces it, they claim is the most valuable product on Earth. When the plant is harvested at the point when the first leaf starts to come out on the stem, the first bud comes out. There are other companies that produce specialized food concentrates which supply the individual needs in a food form, not in a vitamin form, although the vitamins automatically have to be a part of it. Like every car has to have 4 wheels, not just one. And you have to have the vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and proteins. Then there are two companies that produce it, and the life force of the plants is in these tablets as much as it was in the original plants from which they were extracted. So you're not only getting total nutrients, but you're also getting the living forces to help those nutrients provide the body's healing. There are other extracts taken from the organs of the body itself, which are not from plants. And these are extracted in such a way that you get the nucleus of the cells. Now, there are a lot of products on the market that you hear about called glandulars and cell extracts, and many of them are good, but there is the same one company doesn't just produce the whole gland and dehydrate it, and you've got even the unnecessary fractions of the protoplasm, which do nothing but produce energy. They take the nucleus, where all the healing and cell control molecules are. That is probably about 10 times more concentrated than taking the whole cell or the whole gland or the whole tissue extract. And we use these for rebuilding any organ of the body that's broken down. The body just absorbs whatever it needs and gradually will come back to grow back to its normal state.
Would you recommend any brand?
The only brands are Vaco and Standard Process that I know about. There are many others that are Standard Process. Sorry? I can't hear you. Standard Process and Vaco. Yeah, right. Vaco is V-E-I-C-O. The initials are for Vic Earl Irons Company. You remember the name and you have the initials. They have the booth outside.
Those.
If there was a problem with assimilation of these nutrients, would the herbs help that?
And if you don't assimilate, obviously, if it doesn't get into your body, how can it help? So your digestion is just as important, where 90% of all disease starts with digestion. You have to normalize the digestion in practically every cancer patient and every person with degenerative disease. And you need to do with digestive enzymes or rebuilding the organs of digestion or both. Yes?
After the age of 30, do you suggest taking digestive enzymes?
No, I don't. I only suggest giving to people what their bodies tell me that they need. And I don't make any rules of any kind. Either you study the body and everything is guided by that study of that body. And you only give what is needed and roughly as you can in balance to that body's needs. There are no other rules that I know about.
My question is about the magnets. Even though they're not allowed in this country, where can we get more information about the magnets and the rest of pulsating magnets?
There are a couple of companies in the States that do manufacture magnets, but they are only allowed to be used by veterinarians for animals. You can get the information from those companies, and one of them is called ELEC, and the other one, I don't know what the name is. ELEC, E-L-E-C. And there's another one, and I don't know what the name of it is in the States. If you wanted to write up to Toronto, I can get the address for you. I don't know where it is. I think it's there's one in Arizona, and there's another one I think is in Georgia, I think the ELEC is in Georgia. This has been standard treatment in Russia, Romania, Germany for something like 20 to 30 years, and we're still not allowed it in America.
Everybody would like to have your address given at this time, so they can write it.
Please, please don't.
Okay.
We'd rather that the doctor would not pass out the address in that way. When we refer patients to Dr. Roy, we are quite selective to see that the patient and the doctor are compatible.
Thank you.
I know that what you'd like to do walking out of here is to go out with a full program with the doctor from the platform giving it to you, and that should be acceptable as a cancer cure. It simply isn't that simple.
You know what an incompatibility is, of course. It's like an incompatible relationship with a doctor, an incompatible marriage. An incompatible is when he has income and she's patible.
If you need help, the best thing to do is to see people who are members of the board of the FACT organization. If you're closer to the Philadelphia area, the Philadelphia president, Dr. Susan Silberstein, is out there at the book table, and she's very knowledgeable. She knows all the resources, and she can help you make decisions that would be probably more in your interest than if you do it on your own.
We have one big problem there that I would like to confirm with Ruth, and that's your problem, and unfortunately it's your problem, is that there are so many ideas running around that you try this treatment, you try that treatment, you try Laetril, you try a vitamin, you try a fast, you try diet, you try nutrition, and you take the human body and fit it into a molded treatment. And a lot of the treatments, even in Mexico, are this way. We have a standard treatment and you fit your system into it, regardless of what it is. When people come up to any doctor's office or to myself, and they have this kind of standardized idea that they're going to get a panacea, we don't work very well together. People who come up with an open mind, and this is what why FACT likes to filter some of them out, we can get along together. Next, please.
And, are you selling chlorella?
There are 50. There are 50. There are 50 products on the market that make that kind of a claim.
Yeah.
And there are many, many foods in the face of the earth that are relatively complete. It's not what the food came from or where it came from. What did you do with it? And before you ever buy a product, you find out from the company, what did they do to it? So if there's any kind of oxygen that's had contact with that product in the process of tableting, any kind of chemical, any kind of pesticides, any kind of spray, any kind of radiation or heat, there is a destruction of your enzymes. And even in the process of putting it into a tablet, you destroy most of the enzymes and most products that are out on the market. And just taking a product and listening to what they tell you about it, this is the greatest product on earth, every company in the world says this. It does not depend on what the product comes from or what it's made from. What did they do to it? And the only way you know that is by finding out directly from the company. I have checked out on a number of products that are supposed to be the greatest on earth, and I find out that there's always some process that somebody has taken a shortcut on.
Yeah.
And you've got to be as cautious as blazes on all this beautiful advertising.
You know, what we've had has been a wave of popularity for one product or another. 2 years ago it was spirulina, before that it was green magma, or vice versa, I don't know. But you see how carefully one has to look at the product, not the claims of the manufacturer, but you look into how it's processed, where they got the original material. Now, in defense of chlorella, I want to say this, and it should not be adopted as people began to adopt some of these other products. But Dr. Roy has not been working with chlorella. I don't know that he's familiar with chlorella. The name may be absolutely new to him. But Dr. Jensen has been working with it for quite some time, and he finds it quite acceptable. But nevertheless, just because a material is advertised, we'll accept it too, because some practitioner has worked with it and has concluded that it has value. But otherwise, if you take the manufacturer's word for it, as Dr. Roy said, there are shortcuts, they use too much heat, they destroy it in the heating process, or many other things that they can do to it. It's devitalized of all of its enzymes by the time you get it. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, but.
Go
ahead.
Next.
That's coming from?
I don't know.
Charlotte Strauss put it out.
That sounds wonderful. I'm sure if you read every health book that's written, you're going to find somebody's going to condemn something. Now, as far as I know, alfalfa sprouts is probably one of the best foods that there is, but there is an element of truth in what you're saying, because alfalfa is one of two or three foods that absorb huge amounts of potassium from the soil. There's probably one of the richest foods in potassium that there is, that and tobacco are the main ones. Now, if you're growing this commercially, the fertilizer that they use to put all this potassium into the plant is from potash, which is mined, and when you separate any mineral from the other minerals that join together with it and are combined in multitudes and groups in the soil, you leave the electrons free, which means that you are leaving that element radioactive. Potassium is of the sodium, potassium, radium, strontium, cesium family, and is about 50% as radioactive as radium is. Now, if you're growing your alfalfa commercially on this kind of a fertilized field, you now have a highly radioactive substance, and that alfalfa might cause cancer. Very likely will cause cancer, because that's one of the major reasons why tobacco causes cancer. It does not mean to say that it's the alfalfa that's a problem. But most commercial alfalfa available probably will give you that problem.
It wasn't just alfalfa sprouts, it was sprouts in general.
Sprouts in general, I can't buy that.
Here's what I think about the whole process, is that actually the vitality of the sprouts started healing crises. And the healing crises were evaluated, those inflammations were evaluated as illness, which we talked about at length yesterday, mm-hmm. instead of classifying them as healing processes.
I could sure buy that, but I can't see anything that could be other than marvelous in a sprout.
Dr. Roy, do you happen to know why, in one of Dr. Pearson's books,
he cautioned very strongly
against people who have
cancer
eating berries and soybeans?
Yes. I can. Soybeans, I'll start with that one because I know it a little better. Soybeans is particularly rich in sulfur. And sulfur is an element that goes into the chromosomes and helps to speed up, accelerate the growth processes. The berries, frankly, I don't know why he ever put that in there, because although there are certain minerals in different berries that may not be in harmony with the body, although I studied with Gerson, I've never been able to find the answer to that. And frankly, I have a great deal of doubts as to the fact it's that serious a problem.
Our experience with Gerson's program has been that he also took out foods with sodium. And yet there seems to be no evidence that it's necessary to take out foods just because they have sodium. We think he wasn't quite differentiating between actual salt and sodium to the degree. Mm-hmm. And you have to also understand something.